here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello.
Hi. Today is Friday, July 15th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories. Before we begin with anything too serious, I just think we have to, elephant in the room, have to mention the Pokemon Go craze that's been happening.
Definitely.
I don't want to spend too much time on it because it isn't the biggest financial story ever, but I will say that Nintendo's stock, which is trading at, under the ticker NTDOY, is up over 80%, I think, the last time I looked at it, since the release of the game last week.
That's crazy.
I think the game came out on the 6th, and it's not even released worldwide yet.
No.
It was just a soft North American opening from
okay.
It. So it still has yet to debut in Europe, I believe.
Wow.
Or now, Japan, maybe, potentially, too. Japan and Europe, it hasn't even come out in yet. So a lot of action, potentially an overreaction from the market with the stock.
I feel like investors, like,
almost
who,
doubling in a week.
Yeah, like investors of Nintendo are just like, thank you.
Yeah,
if you're
long on Nintendo, this was some great news.
But I also feel like any Pokemon product or like new Pokemon launches never, like, they always do pretty well, but Pokemon Go has certainly exceeded, I think, all expectations.
Well, yeah, and it's certainly a really unique game with the whole augmented reality thing, one of the first widely available augmented reality games that it's free to play. They're making money on it via microtransactions, obviously, but
yeah. And it's certainly easy to pick up on. I mean,
oh yeah,
from what I've read about it.
So you're not a player yourself.
I'm not a player, but
neither am I. So
I want to try, but I'm just hesitant because I don't want to be the one more person on the sidewalk who's not looking where they're going.
Which is a lot of people, and I've noticed it. It's not hard to notice at all when you're walking down the street. There's people everywhere doing it. So, I don't know. It's crazy when something... I'm always fascinated by cultural things that just explode so quickly like this. So,
like, globally, within
it
just
is
a matter
literally,
of days.
I think probably my mother knows about it, which I think says a lot about what it means to the world right now, because she stays as far away from pop culture as she can. But yeah, definitely interesting. Something to keep your eye on if you are holding Nintendo right now.
Definitely.
At this point, I don't even know. I mean, it could continue to go up. I think I checked this morning and the stock was up another 2 or 3% this morning. I don't know if it'll ever stop. So
just keep on going.
Yeah. Moving on. Let's jump into our top stories this week.
Yeah. So we're going to be touching on some consumer staples, like Starbucks and Amazon. They both had pretty good weeks this week. But before that, we'll pick up last week's conversation about the state of the IPO market by looking at one of this year's marquee tech IPOs.
Yeah, that's right. As we said last week, the IPO market has been very sluggish to start the year, especially in the technology sector. So this week marked what we can only hope is a reversal of that trend with the initial public offering of the Japanese instant messaging app Line, and that is stylized in all caps, by the way, LINE.
All right.
It's trading under the ticker LN on the New York Stock Exchange. Just wanted to emphasize that because it is dual listed in Tokyo, and it actually debuted Friday morning in Tokyo. So two different IPOs, if you will.
When did it debut on the New York Stock Exchange?
Thursday was the IPO date. So yesterday. And between the two listings, they raised over $1.3 billion on the first day of trading.
Impressive.
Making it by far the biggest tech IPO of the year. And then in the first day in the U.S., the IPO price was priced at $32.50 per share, and it closed at $41.55 per share, a jump of about 26.5%. So a successful first day of trading, I would say.
I would definitely say, yeah.
I'd say it's a little bit too early to call whether this will be the kickstart that the IPO market needs. But 26% on the first day, a $1.3 billion deal.
Definitely a good sign.
Definitely a good sign. Something we haven't seen yet this year.
Yeah.
Definitely not anything on that level. Yeah, so hopefully, I mean, at this point, really, that's the only word I can use is hopefully it'll kickstart, or maybe it just kind of be that sign of, okay, we can do this. It's
right.
possible. So other technology companies looking to go public this year might feel a little bit encouraged.
Yeah. Do you know when, is Line available in the U.S., like to use for consumers?
I do not believe so. I know it is big in Japan,
right?
And which is where it's based out of. And then I think also in Korea and some other Eastern Asian companies is
gotcha.
Where it's really big. Also, it's randomly extremely popular in Spain. I don't
oh.
want to say randomly. I'm not 100% sure why it's really popular in Spain, but of the European countries where it's available, it's really big in Spain. And from what I understand about the way that the company is heading is instead of more countries, they want to be doing more things in the countries that they're already in or in the markets they already have a good share in.
So a different tactic that a lot of, I guess, huge... privately held companies today mm-hmm. aren't doing whatsoever.
Yeah, I definitely an interesting route that they're heading down. From what I understand, they see themselves more as a lifestyle application than just a messaging app.
Okay.
And so that takes, you know, it's hard to be shifting who you are as a what you are as a product while also expanding outward.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what they're trying to do is freeze that kind of international expansion for the moment while they kind of work on what the application actually does.
Yeah, I like that. I think that it's a...
Well, I think it's a good idea to stay focused. So,
yeah.
Definitely. So they... Busy week for Line, for sure. And as we mentioned before, a busy week for consumer staples, in particular, the master drink makers over at Starbucks. So Maddie... You fill us in on that?
Yeah. So Starbucks has had a pretty busy week. The CEO, his name is Howard Schultz, he announced that Starbucks would be raising the base pay for all of its U.S. store managers and workers starting later this year in October. The pay raise will be worth at least 5%. So that's a significant mm-hmm. amount mm-hmm. in...
At least 5%.
At least 5%.
So more potentially. Depending.
Potentially, yeah. But that also depends on store location and other market factors. Some employees will also see some new options for their healthcare, which is always a big plus when looking for either a new job or staying in your current position.
Mm-hmm.
And Schultz indicated that there could be improvements to the company's stock rewards program. I think it's called the Bean Stock program.
Oh.
Which is kind of clever.
Uh-oh. Wow. I had no idea that it had such a punny name. That's amazing.
Starbucks just surprises me all the time.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that stock rewards program is going to be seeing improvements for employees in the future, which I'm assuming full-time employees. So that is usually limited to, I'm assuming...
I don't know if their baristas are classified as full-time employees or I don't know.
Okay. Well, perhaps. And then also this week, the company announced that it will be creating a new high-end brand of stores called Starbucks Reserve Only. Ryan, have you tried any of their Reserve coffee?
No.
It's phenomenal. It's really good.
Is it available at every Starbucks? Or?
Not every Starbucks, but some Starbucks that I've been to in Chicago have brewed it on occasion.
Okay.
And then there's, so some Starbucks also have this machine called the Clover, mm-hmm. which makes just one single cup of coffee, a very expensive single cup of coffee. But if they... For one person, so
okay.
for one order.
So it's like a single cup coffee maker that
yeah.
they use in store.
Yeah. So,
okay.
if they have like these like reserve small lot coffee grounds or beans, and apparently it tastes better with the clover instead of like versus like a traditional batch coffee maker.
This is reminding me that my palate in coffee is not like well versed enough at all to know the difference between good coffee and bad coffee.
Yeah.
I'm totally content with the free coffee in the break room lifestyle. I'm totally out of the game on this Starbucks reserve only.
Yeah. But hopefully when it comes to Chicago, you'll be able to try it.
So these stores, these new lines of stores are going to be just featuring this higher end coffee.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a take on Starbucks's Reserve Roastery and Tasting Room in Seattle, which is like this, think of like a brewery, like a traditional beer brewery.
Like a craft brewery place.
Yeah, but for coffee. And it has like this, it's like a visual bar experience where there's like, you can try out five different coffee preparation methods. It's pretty cool. I'm excited for that to come. To be able to expand in the U.S. for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So the company is also, in addition to this kind of elevated coffee experience, they have partnered with this Italian bakery and pizzeria chain called Princi.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal allows Starbucks to develop and operate all new Princi locations outside of Italy in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So Princi right now, I think, has 5 locations in Milan and London.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal is similar to Starbucks's acquisition of that La Boulange brand.
Yeah.
That they now serve in almost all of their cafes, all their pastries and baked goods.
So Princi Foods coming to Starbucks stores as well.
And I think they're going to be actually making the food in store and in house instead of just coming it and instead of it having been packaged and like heated up.
So I can't help but be reminded of something Starbucks was doing. A story I heard from Starbucks maybe a year ago now, which was that expansion of the small plates and alcohol offerings at certain Starbucks stores. So it looks like the company, again, continuing to
just improve the customer
experience. And on an optional level almost, because it's not like they're saying you can't still have the regular Starbucks experience that you want.
Definitely.
Which is in maybe potentially in and out quickly, your morning cup of coffee, your morning drink, whatever, that is still available
definitely
for
everyone. Yeah, definitely.
It's just a matter of we're offering also this new experience.
Yeah, I think they're also trying to draw other customers who are used to or who prefer artisanal, higher end coffee and lattes and cappuccinos so that they'll come to Starbucks instead of their local coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't great news for local coffee shops across the country. But
Starbucks is unignorable
on
that front.
I like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
So as we kind of discussed, there's a lot of interesting things happening in Starbucks, coming from Starbucks, as the company continues to be one of the best brands in the country. And we also have some major news from another one of the country's most recognizable companies, and that's Amazon.com.
Yeah, so in case you've been living under a rock this week, Amazon's Prime Day... Oh, I should mention quickly that Amazon trades under the ticker AMZN. Amazon's Prime Day this week. It was the second annual Prime Day, which is an online shopping holiday available exclusively to Prime subscribers. I didn't get a full count of the total number of deals. I'm going to go with thousands of deals, though.
I think that's good.
It's vague
enough number.
Definitely more than hundreds.
Yes.
Definitely not millions.
No.
So thousands.
No. Yes.
Thousands of deals throughout the day. In case you weren't able to check it out, basically the way it works is they post these deals and you can kind of search through them as you would kind of browse Amazon regularly. But then each deal, there's only a certain amount of available.
And there's a time limit too.
Yeah, time limits. And then there'll be like a progress tracker for like the amount of deals that have been claimed.
Oh, okay.
So you can see, okay, you know, I want to, I'm looking around there. Here's this deal on the Fire TV stick, mm-hmm. but 85% of them have been claimed. So it's limited. Not only is it limited to Prime subscribers, but it's limited within that.
You
can't just, there's not.
And it like also heightens that sense of urgency. Well, 85% exactly. of them are gone.
Yeah,
I need
exactly.
to get it now.
Exactly. So, it ended up being a pretty historic day for Amazon just as far as sales go. It was only the second Prime Day, but from last year, sales grew 60% worldwide and 50% in the U.S. It was the biggest day of sales ever for Amazon's own devices. So, like I said, the Fire TV stick, the Kindle, different Kindle
Alexa.
Things, Alexa-enabled software, or Alexa-enabled speakers. So Alexa being the software that works on the Amazon Echo.
Okay.
And I think the two smaller versions of the Echo are called the Dot and the Push, I believe.
That's cute.
For those of you who don't know, the Echo is kind of the smart speaker type of deal. Mm-hmm. You speak to it and it does things in response. And it's also kind of this consumer level Internet of Things product where you can sync it up with a bunch of different compatible devices. So
right.
you can have your air conditioning up thing. What is it called?
A unit?
Yeah. the little touchpad, though, is the word that is escaping me.
Oh.
Anyway. you can have that synced up. You can have your lights in your house synced up, your TV, whatever. It can turn on appliances, schedule, set alarms, everything, basically. It does everything. Not only was that, the Amazon Echo is actually on sale for discount of $50. So it was on sale for, like, I think $129, which was the lowest price it's ever been offered at.
That's a pretty good deal.
And they also had deals exclusively for people ordering through Alexa devices. Mm. So you could, if you were willing to order through communicating with your speaker, you got an extra deals that not every Prime person had. So definitely a really interesting day for Amazon. And one of those days where there's a lot of buzz around it. We covered it. Everyone was talking about it. But after the stats come out and you go, yeah, sales grew 50% from last year. Awesome. We sold a bunch of Fire TV sticks. Does it really matter in the long run for Amazon?
To me, it matters to boost sales for their home, their branded products.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that those items were the few things that made the most sense to buy on Prime Day.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's like just weird, random stuff that you'll find. You're like, oh, okay.
That's true. I actually covered the five strangest deals that I found on Prime Day. There are a bunch of random things. I spotted an at-home cheese making kit with an accompanying
cheese.
DVD. There were kids' slippers that looked like sharks that were really cool.
Those were actually really cool.
I wish I had like a little nephew to buy them for
right?
or something. But those are the types of things you're not going on. No one's waking up on Prime Day going, I really hope I can still snag that amazing deal on that cheese making kit.
Oh, just
that's more
if
of
only.
that's more of a like you're right, an impulse buy.
Yeah.
So, but you definitely know the Amazon devices are going to be on sale, and that is the day to get them.
And I guess for impact, I mean, it definitely like shoots the Amazon brand into the stratosphere. I mean, everyone was talking about it. Everyone knew about it. So
day,
in that
basically.
Sense,
it was Tuesday. So I mean, it was the only thing anyone was talking about.
Like
on
Prime Day, Amazon is the biggest company.
Yeah,
like in the world.
So, and I think when you're talking about the biggest day ever for their own devices, that does have a lasting effect because now there's even more people with Amazon branded devices in their hands every day. And the cool thing about those branded devices is that Amazon has done a really good job making sure that they produce return customers. So you know, even if you're just buying a Kindle because you want to have an e-reader or whatever, you're buying your, you're then getting your books through Amazon's
Kindle library.
You know, your Fire TV stick is going to keep you on that subscription so you can have the instant video to accompany it. If you're grabbing an Amazon Echo, you know, you're going to be...
Your home you're is gonna be
interacting. Yeah, you're going to be interacting with Amazon every day of your life. Yeah. Ordering things from Amazon easier. Even dash buttons.
Oh, can't forget about those dash buttons. Yeah.
That's something that you're literally placing in your house. That is you and Amazon connecting.
Literally. With a physical touch. Because you're touching it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just another experience or another example of Amazon and their dominance of your
life,
which is kind of a weird way to put it.
It's a weird way to put it, but it's scarily accurate.
One thing I did want to mention, though, as far as not Amazon, things that did see a boost. Because I want to talk about how it affected or doesn't affect the e-commerce market as a whole in a second. But one thing that I did see was iRobot, which trades as IRBT. They make the automated vacuum thing, robot vacuums.
Oh, okay.
They sold a ton of them on Prime Day. And they were actually up 2% on Tuesday, just based off of the popularity of... the robot vacuums on Amazon.
Yeah, well, going off that, Prime Day could be a huge day for Amazon's third-party sellers who are trying to get their products into the hands of Amazon Prime subscribers.
True. So let's go back to what I was saying a second ago, the e-commerce market as a whole. Agree with me or disagree with me, whichever you'd like to do, but to me... Not only is it a conversation or a statement about Amazon's dominance of your life, as we said, which was kind of a spooky way to put it, but it also says to me, it confirms again that people are online shopping for just about everything. I feel like when we first, or when online shopping, when we first kind of came to that realization as consumers that, okay, online shopping is here to stay. There were only a few things where you would definitely online shop for.
Right.
Like you can buy a TV online and you're going to get a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're getting, whatever. There was a reluctance to start clothes shopping online because you didn't get the like trying on aspect. We got over that quickly.
Very quickly.
But it felt like there were still certain things that you definitely went into a brick and mortar store to get. And now that doesn't feel like a thing. For me personally, I can say anything that I would buy in a store, I know where to buy it online and will do it.
Yeah.
Even Amazon coming together and saying, get groceries from us. So
the Prime Pantry, yeah.
I think if it's anything, it's just a reminder about something we already knew, which is that you can get everything online and everyone wants to do that. In a shocking fashion, almost.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it shows that people, more and more people are choosing to exclusively shop online, like you said, for anything. I'm still hesitant about buying groceries online or like using a service like Amazon Prime Pantry or even Walmart's grocery delivery service or Instacart.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me personally, I will buy everything else online except for groceries. But one day, I probably will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's maybe the sentiment of a lot of people who have decided to shop online. They're like, well, I guess I have gonna just do it now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like a smooth, almost an invisible transition, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So just a couple tickers I wanted to throw out for everyone to look at kind of on this topic. Of course, eBay. Trades on the ticker EBAY. Stamps.com, which is kind of another example of never having to leave your house to do things anymore. You can just print your stamps and postage things in home and send them out. Stamps.com trades under STMP. Another thing I saw actually trading higher on Tuesday, for no reason other than just kind of this connection of e-commerce was Etsy.
Etsy.
I think another example of more of a niche e-commerce market, where you can get kind of these cool homemade goods. And again, it's just another reminder that that is a viable thing. And I was also reminded of Shopify this week, which is trades under the ticker SHOP, which is not an e-commerce platform itself, but a provider of that for, you know, they have, they kind of create the framework, cloud-based framework for other companies to develop their e-commerce platforms.
Yeah, I feel like they...
So just some tickers to think about. I mean, there was some, like I said, with Etsy, there was a little bit of a reaction, but there wasn't a direct impact across the board. Just those are some companies that I was reminded of when thinking about this. So
yeah, well, especially eBay. I'm glad you brought them up, because Amazon's, I guess, their way of setting up Prime Day, where it is a countdown, there's so many products left. It reminds me of eBay in the fact, just like with, you just never know what's going to be left if you don't get in there quick enough.
Sure, sure. That's true. That's true. So final question, did you snag anything on Prime Day?
No. I almost got a food processor, but then I
You didn't have room.
I didn't have room in my kitchen's really small. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very tiny. Mm-hmm.
I shopped. I didn't pull the trigger on anything because I was more, my shopping was more clicking around trying to find the crazy weird things that were on sale.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't really need any of this stuff. I probably should have pulled the trigger on the Echo while it was discounted. I'm going to wait till that comes on sale again next, because
watch out for holiday.
Want one. All this talking about it, now I want one.
Yeah.
I want to be able to be like, hey, Alexa, buy me this thing. Turn on my lights. Do this. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I want one for sure. That's about all we have, though, this week. Another busy one. Some things to keep our eyes on going forward.
Yeah, especially with earnings season.
Yes, big really earnings season. Going soon. Should dominate the next 2 or 3 weeks of
Definitely.
Conversation. And a lot of big Fortune 500 companies that are going to be reporting soon. With that, just a quick reminder that you can check out all of our coverage for these stories in the links in the article. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening.